Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Righto, the full block. Hang on a second.
Don't you start.
No, we're going to continue. It's the 4WD podcast. Sunroof, man. Let it ride.
What were you about to say?
4WD podcast on Instagram. Episodes on Backchat's YouTube. Ronnie, I just got a little splinter in there and then I stuffed up what I was saying. It's 40 degrees outside. I'm melting.
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
Jaden turned the aircon off. We had a little bit of a shaky.
I've got you a little fan, mate.
Nah, it's nice.
You got a nice little fan there.
You're suffering over there. That was a bad start.
That was a good start.
But I think we just acknowledge it. We move on. We learn from it.
I think we're probably a bit dehydrated, mate.
But yeah, I am. I'm actually missing a water bottle. And people need to see there's not always just smooth sailing in the podcast world. We make mistakes. How are you, mate?
I'm very good. Good. Yeah.
Ready to compose yourself?
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, no, yep. I'm good. Like I said, it's hot over here.
Oh, mate, it is. Yeah. Well, you just came back, right?
Yes. Yep. We had some wet weather over east.
Yep.
As we mentioned before our little breakups, but yeah, it certainly hasn't missed me coming back. It's been bloody warm.
Yeah, it's a scorcher.
Yes. Speaking of, Perth scorcher's going very well, which we love. Hey, mate, let's talk about some more 70 series stuff. But first of all, towing. So caravan, we've given you a bit of crap over the last little bit about some of the changes that you're making to your, I suppose, garage and the way you camp.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can call it that now. But
yeah, I don't know. Is caravan and camping? It's a debatable.
Yeah,
it's a debatable question.
We'll put it out there. I'm going to say it is for now. But how do you enjoy it, mate? Because that was your first sort of real trip in a caravan, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. Look, my kids and my wife definitely enjoyed it.
Yep.
The dog didn't get to enjoy it. She tried to get in, but I wouldn't let her in. It was a bloody big caravan. It's 21 foot, had 3 bunks, had a double bed, had a toilet, had a shower. I still hopped in the car, drove 5 k's away and dug a hole.
Yeah, right. Did you?
Yeah.
Couldn't do that to the family?
Okay, maybe that's why.
On the hunt and bruise, and he's just...
Oh, mate, yeah, maybe it's not that. It's just I prefer in the bush, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Just years of knowing what you want out there and just...
Mate, the trees need fertilising, all right?
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Yeah. Look, it was... I won't say it wasn't enjoyable. It was definitely enjoyable. It was easy to set up. It was easy to cook. We had a bloody oven inside. We had a barbecue outside. So
luxuries that you're not used to there.
Yeah. And because we always go camping with the same crew, they all got caravans. We rocked up with like a caravan twice the size of all them. So I felt like an arsehole when I rocked up. And
big dogs in town.
Big dogs in town, yeah. And it was just towering over everything. This thing was huge. And we have like this communal dinner as everyone adds to the table, but we were able to like really add to the table this time, having an oven and stuff. And people always run out of room in their Webers and stuff, so they're bringing food over. You got room? It's like, yeah, shove it in the oven.
Yeah.
She'll be right.
Yeah.
It was good. The one thing I will say that I didn't enjoy was the lack of canvas. I like waking up in a swag. I like waking up on the ground. Waking up inside a caravan to me, it's like waking up in a mine site donga. Everything's white.
Yeah. You know, too perfect.
A little bit of sunbeam comes through and it's just like I'm up. So yeah.
It's interesting you say that because you must be just obviously been camping a long time and love that and going to the hard to reach places, but for some people you'd be making no sense at all.
Yes. Like, probably to most people wouldn't make no sense.
Not enjoying waking up in a beautiful queen size bed, nice white walls and a little bit of sunshine coming through.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're all civilized these days. It's not like we're back in early 1900s, right? So why are we heading out in swags?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's to get back in touch with those days and just
exactly
back to our roots. I'm with you. I've never caravanned myself. I grew up holidaying in a caravan. It was like a permanent site, old sort of caravan.
Yeah.
Had a blast. And we used to cram, like you would cram all the food in the oven, we used to cram about 10 to 12 people in this caravan with an annex. We were everywhere in
party.
There. But good fun. But I still tend to agree, camping and being able to go to those further places that you maybe cannot reach with the caravan still appeals to me more. Although Sarah and Keelan, who have appeared on the show recently, have proven that you can take some caravans into some pretty hairy places, which they've done to great detail. But also I wanted to ask, how'd you go reversing?
Not too bad.
Okay.
Not too bad. I found it extremely surprisingly easy.
Ooh.
The only thing was the vision, right? So, and knowing full well that, you know, my wife hasn't often directed me backwards to, you know, reverse things. So I just let her just point.
Yep.
And I just drive.
Okay.
I just said, yell out if I'm about to hit something. I just keep going.
Yep.
Because the mirrors weren't quite up to
what,
the scratch.
What car were you in, actually?
I was in a 79.
The 79?
The V8 79.
Oh, wow.
I chose to tow with that. I had the opportunity to put the tow bar on the 76 beforehand, but I thought all the effort to do that, I'll do it after Christmas, after New Year's. So I thought 79, it's going to tow better, right?
Yep.
So I took that.
Yeah, okay. Just touching back on Sarah and Keelan. So Keelan being a really nice, the best reverser for a young age.
Mate, phenomenal.
Are you telling him it's actually not that hard? Stop pumping yourself up.
Look, Knowing where everything is, I do struggle to judge my depth of field, especially when I park the car nose forward. Sometimes I get out of the car and I'm like, I'm still a meter away from that pole.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, no one saw that. Let's go going to Bunnings and get the hell out of here. I think the reason why I'm not too bad at towing is because I'm used to short camper trailers with a short drawbar. Once you make a tiny little error on that, you got to start over.
Yeah, okay.
Because it just reacts so fast.
Yep.
With a caravan, it's like, oh, I went half a turn too much. Let's go the other way.
Yeah, okay.
And you can correct it.
The longer drawbar, was a dual axle caravan?
Yeah, it's a dual axle.
Yeah, okay. So that
turns slower.
Helps stiffen it up a bit too, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I still take my hat off to you and Keelan and everyone that's reversing caravans into tight spaces because I'm that far from that. That's a great little prelude into what we're actually here to talk about today. So towing with the 70 series. So you obviously decided not to take it on this trip, but mainly because you wanted to put the time and effort into setting that up right on the back of the 76.
But you know, it's like you look at the 79, it's got a tray, it looks tough, it's got the 35s, it's tuned for towing.
Rah,
right? It's built.
Yeah.
It's what I designed that car for was to tow or throw a swag in the back.
Yep.
Nothing really in between that. So to me it's like, well, the 76 stock, you know, it kind of looks funny, a bit silly, towing a big van being completely stocked and all that. And I thought, oh, I don't really know what a tow's like, so I'm going to take the V8 and then we'll do a tow test later.
Yep.
And that's what we're alluding to now.
Yeah, so that brings us to that exactly. So you've had a go now at towing with the 76 and they're starting to become a little bit more on this, the info around towing with the new 70 series on YouTube and the like. So your stuff we know is the real deal.
Yeah.
But your first initial thoughts, again, I keep coming back to your first thoughts, and they've been very positive in the episodes gone by. As a tow vehicle, how did it perform?
The stuff I'm about to tell you, you're not going to believe it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Crazy good?
It depends on which way you look at it.
Okay. Explain.
Right. So our tow test, just to lay of the land here, we had an 80-kilometer course I set out to do. It was actually 70 kilometers, but we overshot it, so we ended up making it 80. 40 k's there, 40 k's back. I invited my mate Harry from Fire to Fork.
Yes.
So he drove the car that wasn't towing, and then we'd swap over at halfway mark, so he would get to do everything I did in reverse.
Right.
We had a massive hill on that. So for anyone in WA who has driven up the Great Eastern Highway and they go past Bindoon after they get a pie at the pie shop. Great Northern Highway.
Yep.
Yeah. Bindoon Bakery, top up your tank there. Then
I can second that.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very nice.
That's the one place I might be a sucker for a bit of sugar as well.
Which you're usually very good at saying no, but not there, obviously.
Anyway, but back on track. When you head out of Bindoon, you're heading north, you got to climb a doozy of a hill.
Yep.
And you'd know that one.
Yes, I do.
So that hill seems to go on forever. It has an overtaking lane on either sides because trucks struggle and caravanners struggle to maintain 100 k's per hour because that's the towing speed limit in WA. And everyone wants to go around you 110. Even towing a camper trailer can be a struggle going up that hill. And that's where we took these vehicles, and the plan was to keep and maintain the speed the entire way. So obviously through Bindoon we slowed down to town speed.
Yep.
But out of Bindoon, 100 k's per hour, we were climbing the hill first in the 76 because I picked up the caravan with the 76, towed it all the way, met up with everyone, then we did the course. So I had the first 40 k's going up, and I'd already driven it 60 k's to get from South Perth all the way up.
Yep.
And it did pretty good. It held the speed. It dropped down to 97 and then went back a gear just as I was thinking, here we go.
Yep.
This is where it's going to struggle. Kicks back.
Up it goes.
And I took off again.
Were you in auto the whole time? No manual shift or anything?
Just drive. Because I wanted to do it the way most people would drive the vehicle. They would just jump in, simple, stupid, D, let's go.
Yep.
Now, I did have haul mode on because that's the specific mode to put in.
Yes.
So given that the 79 is a tuned V8, I thought, let's give it every chance. Haul mode, got ourselves up. It changes the car completely.
What's something that's offered in the 76 2.8 litre as opposed to a Prado? That Prado doesn't have the power haul mode.
Prados don't have the power haul mode. And when Harry drove it, Harry said that in normal mode, it drives almost identical, like the rev range and everything.
Okay.
Except for that the 76 has better gearing as in the final drive.
Yep.
So it tops out speed quicker, but it gets there quicker.
Yep.
Whereas a Prado would just keep going. Okay. You don't really need speeds over 110 really that much, right?
No.
You can't use it without paying lots of money and losing points. So.
Yep.
Anyway, he says from his experience driving a Prado, they drive almost identical. But you press that whole power mode button, it changes the vehicle completely, he reckons. It's just a complete different vehicle. And I do agree with him that it's a completely different vehicle when you press that button, but I can't compare it to a Prado because I haven't driven one enough and I didn't have one there on the day. So it does really well. The only thing is I did find that driving through roadworks, 80 k's per hour, power haul mode hates it. You get this vibration, you hear the vibration on the snorkel. The snorkel vibrates on the new 2.8 at certain rev ranges.
Okay.
It just vibrates. The fuel usage was okay, but it vibrates. It loves 100.
The power haul wants to go hard.
Power haul wants to go 70, 90 or 100.
Right.
It doesn't,
really?
Doesn't like 80.
Doesn't like 80.
Yeah, yeah. So most, I wouldn't say most, a lot of grey nomads out there going to hate it. You know, the amount of people we pass that are sitting at 80 k's per hour, they're not going to like that.
Yeah.
They're actually more fuel efficient sitting a bit higher anyway.
Okay.
That we discovered.
Yep.
So we did that with the 76. Harry did it. Yep. Okay, cool. Let's get the V8. Let's wipe the floor clean with the 76 by using the V8 going up the same hill. I'm driving up. I'm in fourth as well, so not like in fifth.
Yep.
I hit the hill a little bit faster than I did with the other car.
Yep.
And I'm climbing and I'm climbing and I'm climbing. And then I'm like starting to lose power and I put my foot down more, but nothing's happening. I'm losing more power.
In fourth. Yep.
Losing more. I drop down to 90. I get on the radio, told Harry. Harry's like, what's going on? Then I dropped to 80 And then I'll bang it back in the third, rev the absolute crap out of it to get an extra 2 kilometers per hour. Then I'll whack it in the fourth, get another 2 or 3. So I get up to about 85 and then it just tops out and then slowly drops back again.
Really?
And then I get to the top and I'm like, what is going on? And Harry's just spinning out. And then we pull up and then you get, you know, Harry, he loves to give it. So it was plenty of banter.
He's not a massive 70 series fan, is he?
He's not. And the thing is, he says, I've never, ever been interested in a 70 series. They don't appeal to me. They're clunky. They're boxy. They don't put enough stuff into them. But this is the first time I would actually buy a 70 series.
Right, okay.
That's what he said.
It actually sounds like, when you explain it in that way, and for so people know, your episode on this will be coming out.
Yes. Yeah, in 2 days' time, so you can see after how this, it all unfolded. Yeah.
And for those out of WA and don't know the Bindoon Hill, you'll be able to see all this too. So it'll make a lot of sense then as well.
Yeah.
But actually, it sounds like the 79, the way you explained it then, because I actually don't believe that it would behave that way. So I'm like, is something wrong? You know, is there a sensor gone wrong that you're lagging in your throttle? Or like that is bizarre to hear.
It's bizarre to hear. It's incredible. And I thought, you know what, just to be sure, because I was still in a bit of denial, they caught all my raw emotion on camera as well, like, because we had two camera guys there. Like, Chris was there and Jono was there.
Yep.
And they got plenty of banter from bloody Harry. And in the background, I'm like checking underneath the car, like, what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So Harry drove the car afterwards, same hill from the back end, which is a bit easier.
Yep.
Same result.
Right.
So, which is just super surprising. Now, there are some aspects, though, where the V8 manual is better going downhill.
Yeah. So that was actually something that we've got here. So,
yeah.
That's the other aspect of towing us. Like, you know,
well,
how,
yeah.
How much can you haul, but how much can you sort of pull up too?
Yeah. And how much can you hold as well?
Yeah.
So the V8 79, it is a funny beast. When you're going downhill, you have to accelerate to get more speed. With the 76, you kind of got to use your brake a bit. However, I will say though, compared to other autos that I've had in the past, like the Hilux, in that haul mode, it kind of senses that it's running away downhill.
Okay.
So it doesn't negate it. It kind of holds back a little bit, but it still rolls too fast. Like, it still rolls faster. You still feel like you need to use that brake.
Yep.
Yeah. So in that sense, the V8 79, the V8 70, going downhill, you can't beat it. And it's got 35s on it. So it has a bigger rolling diameter, which, you know, should make it, I don't know. Yeah. It just holds it really well.
Yep. So when you compare the two, obviously the 79 wasn't able to hold its measure uphill, didn't mind it on the downhill.
Yeah.
The 76, did it want more uphill or was it just to hold? Like, well, how was that power? Was it like, it's got more to give uphill, it wants to keep going, or was it sort of, this is it?
I think it probably could, because I didn't put my foot flat to the floor.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't try because, one, we're recording and the speed limit is 100 there.
Yep.
And towing is, you know, 100. So, I would like to try and see. Yeah. I have no doubt it will probably get a little bit more, but
not that you need it, but it's just interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. But just to find out, I reckon, I don't know, at a guess, maybe you could get another 10 out of it, but you know, maybe more, but you'd probably have to hit the hill more at the bottom, but that hill is so long that I think anything that you hit with it faster, it's going to run out of legs eventually anyway.
Yeah, it's going to plateau out at some stage.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I actually am shocked to hear it. So I suppose the question now is, which it's always been, is when you start to add stuff to the 76. Now, I don't know how towing works, so I'm not pretending to, but the question I ask, and it might never make sense, once you do kit the car out with some 33s, got a roof rack on it, there's a fridge in the back, it's heavier, the family's in there maybe.
Yep. And then towing.
Does that affect the way it tows?
I reckon it would definitely affect it one way or another. But let's also keep in mind, if we do the same to the V8, you know, because this V8 doesn't have a big canopy or anything on it. Yes, it is heavier. It's got the bull bar. It's got the roof rack. It's got the lights. It's got a steel tray.
Yep.
It's got tools in it. But it's not that much on it, really. It's not like like a classic setup 79.
Yeah, big box.
That's got all, it's got all the stuff in it. And there's only one of us in there. All the camera gear was carried in a different car as well. So it was not really, you know, yes, it would have been heavier than a 76, but it also comes to a point where you legally can't put more in that car than it's over GVM.
Yep.
One thing that Harry did say was the combined mass of the 76 and that caravan being just under 3 ton was more than what Harry normally tows. And the other interesting thing he was saying is comparing it to the Hilux, I mean, sorry, his Prado, so comparing the new 76 to his Prado, which has the same engine, same gearbox, the new 76, the temperatures on the transmission and the pan, so there's 2 points you can measure the transmission. It's probably more points than that, but they're the two I know about. They did not exceed 86 degrees at all. And the only time they would get close to 86 was when you didn't have it in haul mode, which is interesting.
Yeah, okay.
So when I did that hill, I thought, oh, yeah, it's going to be 86 because I saw 86 earlier that day.
Yep.
But it only went to 81.
With haul mode.
With haul mode going up that hill, holding 100.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it did drop down to 97, but then it kicked back up and then went up. So Harry reckons on his, he gets close to danger level on his Prado because it doesn't have that cooling system.
Yeah, okay.
So they have vastly improved this vehicle for towing. And he was saying his own words, like, if you want to tour around Australia, you want to tow a caravan right now, that's the car.
Yeah, right. There you go. It's massive. So
yeah,
I'll pose a question to you this way. If it was, so a year's time and you're going on another New Year's Eve caravan trip.
Yep.
Assuming that the 76 is sort of kitted out to how you'd like it, are you towing with the 76 next year?
Interesting question. Two answers. I know the angle you're after, but I'll answer it in two ways.
Okay.
So you're wanting to know if I'll pick the 76 over the 79.
Basically.
One reason is I would because we can throw the dog in the back.
Yep.
My dog is 60 kilos in the back of a tray. She's an indoor dog. She doesn't really like being, it's not nice for a dog to be in the back of straight pipe V8.
Yep.
Yeah. 300 Ks there, 300 Ks back.
Yeah.
It's not good for the dog. She freaks out. She gets anxiety. Therefore, I would put her in that car. And therefore, when we went on that trip, I towed with the 79 because I thought it was a better car to tow with. And we had the dog in a 76. We bought both cars.
Yeah, okay.
We took both cars. So here's this couple bringing two 70s and a massive caravan.
Things are looking up in the Darwin household. That's what people are thinking.
Looking like they want to outstage everyone, you know. It's just, that's what it felt like. I was like, oh, I feel like such a dick. But we have to have the dog, right? So next time, ideally, now that it's all ready for towing, because it wasn't ready for towing either.
Yeah.
It was going to be a push to get it ready. Yep. But I always thought that V8 towing, come on. So
that makes sense.
Next time, yes. If I still have the car, which it looks like I probably will, because it's bloody good.
Ticking the boxes, yeah.
It's ticking all the boxes and fuel, mate. Wow. Have the dog in the back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Righto. So then another little part to that then would be, but I don't want to break it down to sort of day-to-day bumping around to the shops and all that, because I feel like that's an easy answer. I'm assuming the 76 just to bump around to the shops and jump in and out of is going to be easier.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But the overall driving experience, 79 to the 76, or 79 V8, got to keep saying that because there are both now.
Yeah.
The 2.8 litre 76 that you now own.
Yep.
What would you rather drive? What is the more comfortable drive?
Look, around town, one being auto,
yep.
Two not having all the accessories on it.
Yep.
It's
true.
It just drives so much better.
Okay.
And I can get to underground car parks. Like I took my daughter to the CBD. And we went to one of those underground car parks. This is funny. We're coming through. It says 2.1.
Yep.
And even in a stock 70, you're like, oh, shit, am I going to hit it? As I drove under it, I heard a big bang. And I was like, nah, surely not. Security guard turns around. He goes, "Up, get out. You're too high. You're going to hit all these lights. You're going to damage your car." And I was like, "Really?" And I was like, "Well, can you hold a sign up so I can reverse out?"
Oh,
yeah. So he goes, holds the sign up, and I'm reversing. And then I'm looking at him and I'm going, "How tall are you?" He goes, "I'm 6 foot." Well, I'm 6 foot one and I'm taller than my car. That's not 2.1 meters, mate. So I drove forward.
Just went back in.
Yeah. Someone had dropped something in the background.
Oh, and you thought that was
in the underground car park.
Right, yeah.
So bizarre. But they're high as they are. As soon as you put big tires and you lift it,
yep.
Underground car parks, roof rack doesn't mean anything. You still can't go under there.
Yep. Another thing that people might be aware of that I certainly wasn't aware of and I still don't understand, so I'm going to ask you here and hopefully fifth time we can get an understanding of what you're actually talking about. So the hubs. So Jade and I noticed when you first showed us the car out the front. Explain to us that system.
So you're talking about the
auto and the lock.
Yeah.
And the difference between free and lock.
Yes,
on the older models.
Yep. So
you might have to explain that sort of right from the start. Probably people aren't even going to understand that question.
Look, many people, particularly with my older cars, will notice that because they're used to seeing the Goldie free and locked. And Jaden, man behind the voice behind, he also has, you know, the older version, so that has that, and we definitely prefer that, don't we, Jaden?
Yeah, it looks way better than the system you've got going.
I agree, and I'll probably change this, and I'll explain why.
Yep.
So, with the new system, and it's been out since 2016 on the 70, you have auto and locked. So, on the old one, you got free and you got locked. So, when I jump into my Troopy or my old 79,
yep.
If it's in free, I go into four-wheel drive or four-wheel drive low range. I'm not in four-wheel drive because the front's not locked. So, I can reverse, and that's so good for trailers. It's so good. Reversing, especially short drawbars, I do it all the time. I can't do that in the new car, and that's because it has auto and locked. So either position will give you four-wheel drive. It will lock
it. I'm starting to get you now.
Yeah. So if I put in low range, it's going to engage when I reverse and then start bind up, and I want to go forward. I'll go half a meter, it'll unclick, and then another half meter will click back in. So it's going to want to try and go into four-wheel drive constantly.
So this, people might be way ahead of me listening. So in the older models, you lock.
Yeah, you jump out and you lock them.
Yep.
And then you go in and then you put a four-wheel drive in. Or you can have four-wheel drive lever in, then you go outside and you lock them.
Okay. But if you put it into four-wheel drive without locking the hubs and you want to reverse your trailer and that, you're still effectively in two-wheel drive.
Yes.
And you've got all the steering to the front wheels.
Yeah.
And
So
the difference to the new models, the 2.8 litres, is in auto, you then shift into four.
You got no choice.
You're already. So what's the point of having an auto and then a lock if it's just going to do it auto?
That's the question I like to ask the Toyota and Nissan, because Nissan used that system as well. Nissan were the first ones to use it. Yeah.
Newer patrols?
Not on the newer patrols, but like on the GU.
The GU.
The later GU models.
Yeah.
They had them. So it's either for people who are lazy or it's for people who don't understand four-wheel drives. And it could even be a safety thing, because there has been people that have backpackers, or it was a German couple. They borrowed a car up near Kununurra. They went to, Lake Argyle. They went to Lake Argyle. I nearly forgot the lake. They got bogged on the beach. They got bogged on the sand.
Yep.
It's such a big lake. It looked like a beach.
Yeah, sea.
Yeah. They put it in four-wheel drive, but they still got bogged. They couldn't drive out. They were getting no drive to the front.
Yep.
They didn't understand. So they had auto locking hubs there, auto and locked. They likely would have got out and would have been alive today.
Yep.
But because they didn't understand the system, all they had to do was flick those two, they would have been out.
There's your four-wheel drive.
Yeah. And then something else happened at the sign-in thing, like the parents weren't there, so the son was running the books and he couldn't find a book, so he grabbed a new book, they signed that book. And then when the parents came back, they were, what's this book doing here? So they grabbed the old book, and then they looked, who's in there? No one's in there. So they were there for days in heat. She was a triathlon or something. She was an athlete.
Yep.
She walked, died from heat exhaustion. Her partner got halfway to the distance that she did and turned around and walked back. There were water tanks near the car as well. So they could have just stayed there. So even though they couldn't work out a full drive system, they could have had water. But that's, I know it's a sidetrack story here, but but anyway, I believe those reasons are probably why they're there. Like, it's okay for the farm gate. You open a farm gate, you're going across the paddock, it might be a bit muddy. The farmer can't be bothered locking the hub. So it's just, even though he's getting out to open the gate, he'll jump in and go through. That's fine because it's just a short drive. But anything like low range, gravel roads, long duration four-wheel driving, you need to put it in locked.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you that in the manual as well.
Yeah, okay.
But if you read the manual and you try and read and understand the auto and the locked, it is so confusing. It confuses you even more.
Yeah.
So reason why I think this is the dumbest system that I've ever put in a vehicle is because in normal locked mode, you can drive in two-wheel drive. When you're on the gravel, you're like, oh, I forgot to put it in four-wheel drive. You can grab the lever, whack it in full drive while you're moving. You don't have to stop.
Yep.
So it's not going to disrupt any traveling or anything like that. If you're an auto, you have to stop. You then have to put the lever into full drive, then you can take off. If you don't, it's going to crunch because what's happening is everything is moving except for the wheels, right? So the wheels have to catch up. Those axles have to catch up, but everything else is spinning, the diffs spinning and everything. Yep. And then all of a sudden you're going, yep, let's go four-wheel drive, bang, everything rotates and then spins and then you can destroy your gearbox or your driveline.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas when you're unlocked, everything's engaged already. The only thing that then gets engaged is within like the transfer case. So that bit just has to pick up and that diff is already spinning. The rear diff is already spinning. It's just a simple, yep, I'm catching up speed. But with the front not spinning, engaged, you got more. Yeah, right. It's probably not the right way I'm explaining it. I'll probably mess it up a bit. It's difficult to explain.
Because it's taken me a few times to actually listen to you and get my head around what's going on. It would be interesting to hear if there's someone out there listening that or watching that knows the genuine reasons why they're
put
still
it
going
there.
With that option.
Yeah.
Yeah, or is it not still going with that option.
They've put that option in. Because the other way is simple, but they're simple to change. You just got to unbolt that, put the other one on. There's not much you have to do. It's a pretty easy change.
And you're
going to
do that.
I will do that, eventually. Because the other thing is, like, imagine if you're driving and you think you're unlocked, but you're not, but you think you are.
Yeah.
It's in auto. And then you're like, oh, yeah, 80 k's per hour. Bang.
Yeah.
If you are trying to climb a hill and you roll back, it can unclick, disengage. And then when you go forward again, then it can engage again. It will engage again. Also, if you're going up too fast over a rock ledge or something and then the wheel spins, which is not good already when it contacts the ground, but if the wheel overtakes the speed of the axle, which can happen when you go and then like the wheels are just spinning mad and then you come down, it will then try and engage again.
Right.
So that those things, you want it in locked. So everything's in sync.
Yep.
So when there are shock loads, it's lessened.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's not like an additional shock load that comes in.
Yep.
So, you know.
It's a very,
It's confusing.
It's one of those ones with 70 series that people are always going to question some of the things
definitely
that Toyota have chosen to do with the 70 series or the lack of things that they've maybe decided to put in or not put in. Or, that's the same thing, but you know what I mean? Another one probably there that had the chance and they haven't gone with it. I'm sure there's a reason, so that's why we want to find out. And we can let you know.
I'll apologize to anyone listening if it's just your head spinning after that. My head's spinning just trying to explain.
Apologize to me because I am spinning. I'm trying to run this podcast. I've got no idea. But the early part I'm starting to get there. Then you started talking about, like, when you get drive lines and transfer cases and all that, I'm starting to go with the theories.
I think all people really need to know at the end of the day is one, you can't select two-wheel drive low range. Two, you should have it in lock mode if you're doing proper full driving. The only time auto should be used is you're trying to cross a medium strip and you get stuck and you can get out. You're at a construction site. You're in a car park. The overflow car park at the footy maybe where you're parking on sand, you want to get out. Those are the situations where auto's handy.
Yep.
Because you can't be bothered getting out and flicking it. but just leave it in locked.
Yeah.
You can. I wouldn't say just leave it in locked. You can leave it in locked.
Yeah. So one more, actually, while we're on that. So if you leave it in locked and you're just going about your week, day to day, driving around, yep, and you're just in two-wheel drive, the steering's all fine?
Look, the steering is I'll say, 95% fine.
Okay.
There'll be like very slight, and that's kind of guessing a bit because I've never noticed it because I drive around locked a lot.
Yep.
They even recommended a manual to drive around locked every so often so you spin the oils around.
Right.
I think it's a set amount of kilometers per service interval you've got to flick the front on just to spin the oils. What else? Yeah, fuel, you can use a minute extra bit of fuel. I used to leave mine locked all the time. Yeah.
Righto. That's good to know.
Yeah. The only time I would want them unlocked is when I'm towing.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Which you need.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty good, really. Thanks for that, Ronnie. Diving into that on a hot day.
Should we swap hubs?
No.
No, Jaden says no.
I want your hubs.
Jaden's actually sporting a new haircut too for the people that, well, that might see him.
Not that anyone knows.
No, well, people know what you look like. You've been on the show up the front here.
No one pays attention to those episodes, mate.
No, I'm sure they do.
Nor should they.
Nice new bit of artwork and and a fresh bonnet. So looking the part.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's something coming up soon in a particular location at a particular time where something needs to happen.
You know what? Have we actually talked about that on the podcast?
We haven't talked about that. So
do I know what we're talking about?
Yeah, you know what we're talking about.
The UFO picking up the wheel nut.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was like, Jaden's like, shaved his head and he's looking, what's he looking nice for? He's got a nice shirt on. So what's going on? Yes.
You're still off with the fairies, mate.
Yeah, we can touch on that now, actually.
Yes, we can. We must. People are probably like,
what are you talking
UFO
about?
With a wheel nut? What are you talking about?
You are...
That's the 4Drive podcast driven by Shelter.
Yeah. Stay online because I actually forgot about it. You know who Lauren, my partner Lauren, actually mentioned not that long ago now that I think of it. When is Jaden getting that tattoo?
Yeah, when is Jaden getting that tattoo?
Even I'd forgotten about it. So... The people aren't letting you get away with it, mate.
No.
I mean, we haven't actually talked about it on a podcast, I think.
Nah,
we did talk about it on the main stage at the Perth 4Drive show. We got some suggestions.
We're going to have to get probably Jono on.
Great people.
Jono back online and dial in Rafa too to nut that out.
Well, yeah, Rafa messaged me and he was like,
he wouldn't have forgotten.
He was like, please don't forget to call me.
Actually, Rafa's got some, if you check out Destination 4Wheel Drive YouTube, he's put up couple of nice little videos on our little trip across the Nullarbor.
Which is
really cool. So for those out there that want to see it and from another angle, there's some really cool that drone footage of us driving across the Salt Lake in
you notice there. Though that
Rafa's got that on his video.
He hasn't put in all the times that he stopped for a piss.
No, he hasn't.
All those scenes missing.
They're not overly long videos. If he had to put them in there, we would have hit a Sunday marathon.
It was five times you went for a piss during a podcast. Yeah. Probably even more, actually.
I think it was like,
God.
Anyway, we do need to think about that tattoo for Jaden. So
yeah,
it's coming.
So, I mean, to people who don't know what we're talking about, the tattoo, we play Wheel Nut Roulette again. And if you want to know what that's about, you have to go to a previous episode where it involves chilies. But this time,
great episode.
Jaden lost and he must get a tattoo. Yeah. So we're going to be doing a podcast from a tattoo parlor, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. That was the plan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he's obviously got a friend in the tattoo game because he's got the nice
he's getting
the nice
up.
New work. Yeah. So, exciting stuff to come.
I've got some regrets to cover up too, you know.
Oh, I liked the singlet that you came in. You know? Yeah. I wanted to show off the guns.
You did look ripped. the thing was you guys get to choose what it is. And I get to choose where it goes.
Oh, that's right.
So we chose what it was.
Oh, we had some terrible, like some great ideas, but some terrible ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wanted me to get a wheel nut tattooed on my nutsack.
Just get a wheel.
That was your contribution.
Tattoo of a wheel on your nut.
The man with three nuts.
That would be good.
I think you wanted one on my
idea,
face
Liam.
As well.
What one?
You wanted something on my face.
Oh, that was Rafa, wasn't it?
I wanted you to get someone's face tattooed on you. Oh, no, it was us four
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. There were some shockers. Jono wanted something.
Jono was ruthless.
Jono was ruthless.
Yeah, it was something really bad.
He wasn't real keen on it until he wasn't the guy that needed to get it.
Oh yeah, as soon as he wasn't the guy, he was all good. Fine with it.
Let's wrap up for the 70 series towing, because that's exciting me, and we could probably just waffle on about ideas. But
sorry.
So the wrap up on the towing, the 70 series, another tick.
Another tick. Another tick for the books. Yep. Look, there were a few little things there, but look, Harry mentioned a few little things that can be improved, but that comes with weight and stuff, because being too light, Harry did experience with the crosswind a little bit of sway.
Yep.
And you just press the brake controller for that, or you speed up to try and negate that.
Would any of that have to do with the...
It's because both the van was huge, the car's quite light, so the vehicle's lighter than the caravan, and that vehicle also gets affected by a bit of wind.
Yep.
So just a bit of that, you just get a little bit of sway.
Okay.
You know.
So nothing to do with the back wheels being...
No. I mean that could have a very small thing about it, you know.
Probably not be feeling it.
Yeah. I mean, some vehicles, some people have sort of revealed that some of the cars do have roll because of that.
Yep.
And what they've done is they put stability control in.
Okay.
I mean, even the police troopies out back, they do the, who does it, but they extend the axle, not replace the housing. They extend the housing so they can get the longer axles to line the wheels up.
Okay.
What I've done on the other hand is I've got an offset rim coming for it. They're actually sitting at a tire shop now. I'm just going to go pick them up.
Okay.
And planning a lift kit soon too.
Oi, look at that. Might leave that for another episode. Because this has been a bit of it's actually organically just become a three-part series really on the 70 series at the moment. So which very luckily we're coming along for the journey with how, you know, you're going about the 70 series build and sorting all that out in the early stages. So it's actually becoming quite a good little insight into like we say, you're going to be showing all of this on Sunday, what we've covered today.
Yep. And some, because there's heaps of points we've dived in more deeply here, but there's so much to cover with towing. I mean, we could talk all day, you know.
Yep.
So maybe if the audience wants to talk more about towing in general, we can, because there's a lot of subjects like GVM, GCM, ATM, you know, like...
I might have to hop out for that one because I've got no idea.
No, you need to keep me on course, mate.
Good wrap. It's impressing me just hearing about you. Well, I'm impressed by the way you talk about the vehicle and how it's handling everything, and
it excites
me to see where you're going to take it.
You've kind of just highlighted in my mind that 3 months ago, if you told me I was going to buy a 2.8 auto 76 series, I'll be laughing at you.
Yeah.
I'll be like, no way, you know?
Yeah, I would have thought the same about...
Yeah.
Really.
That's
what I thought about caravanning when you anyway. Anyway, another story. Well,
things change, eh?
This is the 4WD Drive Podcast driven by Shelter. Almost another false starter. I thought the fan was actually the fire pit that's in the background, but that's the fire pit. Which means it's time for Around the Fire Pit, Ronnie.
Yeah.
A little bit of change up today. Jaden is not going to ask us the fire pit questions.
He's taking over my job.
I'm actually taking over because I'd love the sound of my own voice. But mainly because I wouldn't actually be able to enter into a lot of these conversations around the questions. They're a little bit technical for my ability.
I better put the thinking hat on then.
Yeah, keep it on because I know you went hard before on the stuff. Just a quick one to start. Craig Tompkinson, 2837, who commented on our episode with Sarah and Keelan Travels.
Yeah.
Lovely ep, guys. Great interview. Prados are cool. FJ are the ugliest four-wheel drives in Oz. Then Sarah and Keelan, I'm going to say Keelan. It says, Craig, if Jono reads this, Ronnie cinematographer, FJ suck.
You know what?
So
we'll get a timestamp for this. I'll send it to Jono.
Yeah. No, it's that's a good little bit of crossover there. I want to get to Ganditty. I want to say Ganditty. Companies that offer a basic bush mechanics course for beginners when traveling, or a basic / bush mechanics course.
Ooh. Good question.
If you know of any.
I don't know of any. I don't know of any. The only place I do know of that do these kind of things are at the Overland Expo in the US. You can do courses. You can learn how to weld with car batteries and all kinds of cool stuff.
Yep.
You get like the whole day. You buy tickets. It's actually something that we're touching on at the 4Drive Venture shows. So I did a lot of talking. Jeff did a lot of talking because he...
This is who came to my mind.
He is a bush mechanic. Actually, catching up with him tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
He's popping past the Pop Past studio.
Great fella.
Awesome fella. Very knowledgeable fella. Mate, when we did that talk, that's probably the closest that I know of anyone who does a bush mechanic kind of course.
Yep.
So he went through all kinds of stuff.
Jeff is seriously serious for those. You can go and search.
Seriously.
Jeff, and I get...
Seriously serious.
Yeah, seriously serious. So they do have some...
Yeah,
some cool content on if you want to sort of
Land Rovers, so they're constantly
they are Land
them.
Rovers, always in the dirt. And maybe not so basic, but sort of any bush mechanic is basic, isn't it? At the end of the day, but he's just got a great knowledge on
what he's doing and takes the bush mechanic to like the next level. Like,
so that's a good one to check out for
definitely.
Candy.
There's some free.
That's
a free lesson
up there for free. Isn't
it?
The only other thing that you speak about when you the 4Drive Adventure shows is the I'm going to forget their names, but the guys at the Tough Dog stand that were doing the actual...
Simon.
Yeah, more of a four-wheel drive.
Oh, sorry, Richard. Richard, the training Richard?
Yes, training.
Yeah, training Richard.
More of a four-wheel drive course on how to actually drive, but another
how to how to recover.
Yeah.
But not so much the bush mechanic side.
No. Yeah. And I'm sure, because they offer a course, don't they?
They offer four-drive courses, yeah. They offer, I even think they do like towing.
Yeah,
courses,
okay.
Like towing off-road. They do it. And I'd say they definitely touch on it.
Yeah, because blokes like that, just they have a wealth of knowledge in all areas, really, don't they?
Yeah, and he would have been through some situations where he'd either had to fix his own car, probably not that often because he drives Toyota. No, just kidding. But other people's cars, you know?
Yeah. I can't remember the name of their company or business.
Adventure Off-Road Training. Adventure Off-Road Training.
That sounds right.
I should know.
Yeah.
Richard is going to...
Adventure Off-Road Training. There you go.
Adventure Off-Road Training. I got it right.
Adventure Off-Road Training. Go and have a look at them.
Yeah.
Not sure what state Gandity's in, but they're WA based. There's plenty around.
There'll be a few around, yeah.
YouTube Seriously Series if you want to have a look at some bush mechanics. That is...
Yep.
Without knowing any companies off the top of the head that offer a course.
Yep.
Listener, Jeff.
And the interesting thing is we're actually talking about maybe collaborating on some of this style of content too.
Right. It could be a great one to sit down and chat to, couldn't it?
That as well.
You and Jeff.
Yeah. Some collaboration content that. But we should definitely get Jeff on as well.
He would be.
And we need to head out to Kalgoorlie to hit him up.
Yeah.
That's right. He's come all the way here,
isn't he?
Yeah.
All right, another one from _dmull_, which I'm pretty sure Backchat loves a double underscore. Do they need to be in a row?
Backchat double underscore.
Okay. There's two underscores in here.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Sorry, dmull, but good effort.
So it is. What's the double underscore thing?
Oh, it's just on the... how do you explain that, Jay? I don't know. Scully just Scully Dan and
Backchat social media handle is Backchat double underscore.
They just enjoy an underscore.
Okay. Fans of the double underscore.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens if someone does a triple underscore?
We had a triple underscore at one point, I think, didn't we? Hey? Brownie points. You get brownie points.
That's just the big dog.
There you go.
All right. So, pros and cons of diff drop kits, adjustable UCA, and extended brake lines with lift kits.
Yeah. They're all good things if done right.
What's a UCA for... First off, adjustable UCA.
Upper control arm.
Oh, yeah.
That you can adjust. So it just means you can adjust like the angle of the wheel a bit, which helps make it fit inside the guard when you're getting your suspension done.
Right.
So often some lifts will need it, particularly on Hiluxes. Not sure about Rangers. I'm pretty sure with Navaras need them as well. Depending on the lift kit as well, depending how high they go. Yep. It's recommended that I have it. It's an extra, I don't know, $500, maybe between $500 to $1,000, depending on what the kit is.
Yep.
And it's necessary to you know, negate tire wear and stuff, and just get the tires where you want them to be, so the vehicle drives tracks nice.
Yep.
The drop down kits they're only necessary if you're going a 3-inch or higher.
Yep.
2.5, you can probably get away with it. But all that does is someone wants a higher lift than 2 inches. For whatever reason that is, you don't really need a lift higher than 2 inches unless you're trying to clear something or you're trying to, yeah, just looks, they do look cool when they're 3 inches, you know. You can notice just that little bit makes a big difference.
Yep.
A few people are going to be laughing about this in the comments.
Yeah, no, it does make a difference.
Yep, there's a few memes about that out there. And getting sidetracked here.
Sarah and Keelan's sort of areas here now.
Yep, yeah, let's not talk about pipes.
You get the most pipe, don't you?
Well, apparently, yeah. Well, I didn't know what.
I haven't even watched that. I just can't bring myself to it.
Anyway, staying away from pipe here. With the drop-down kit, it allows the CVs to be at the right angle. So imagine if you lift your car too high, your natural CV level is going to be like this.
Yep.
And then when you're wheeling, it's really putting stress on it.
Yep.
And you don't want that. So that's why I do a diff drop down kit.
Yep.
Often you'd have to mess about with the bash plates if you have that, stuff like that. And this is only a thing for IFS vehicles.
Yep.
Independent front suspension. With the extended brake lines, that is very important, because if you do a lift and you don't extend your brake lines, either you're going to be rubbing on where they're mounted and stretching them constantly, and eventually, you know, that could pop off and you've got no brakes.
Yep.
You know, because, you know, just having one of those loose, you're going to lose your brakes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. I know. Trust me.
Happened.
It's a bit of an embarrassing story, but that's what we're all about here, isn't it?
We've actually talked about this.
Oh, we have talked about this, actually. Yeah.
Okay, we have talked about this. Yeah. Oh, I was in a hurry.
Overtaking some L-planer.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Good memory by you.
And I put it in backwards and...
I do edit all the episodes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Anyway. I'm surprised not to see that on socials. I shouldn't have said that, should I?
No, all right. Love it.
So, yeah. And when you are extending your brake lines, if you can afford braided, might as well do it.
Braided
brake lines. It makes them stronger, and, you know, abrasive things doesn't mess with them. So, you get a lot of mud, picture a lot of mud, you're in corrugation, and there's lines just rubbing on it.
Yeah, okay.
However, if you do sever a braided brake line, which is very hard, but it has happened, Torben's done one of those when we did a drag race on a plane trip on a private property.
Oh, right.
On a station. It's the Hilux of the 79. He won.
In the 79.
But he nearly lost by going through a fence at the other end.
Oh.
Yeah, he still had 100 metres, and he just kept going. Yeah.
Because he severed a brake line.
Yeah. Because he hit the anchors hard and the brake line just went, see you later.
Too much pressure or something? Or?
Yeah, too much pressure. Yeah, yeah. So, you know.
On film?
No, because he was outside of the range. Really? Yeah. We were wondering, why did he keep going?
That's how good that would be.
Why is he going really miles an hour?
That's funny.
So anyway. So braided brake lines is a good idea.
Yep.
But the problem is, if you do sever them, they're harder to plug, to close up. So here's a little bush fix. So if you do snap a brake line, you can fold it over a couple of times, zip tight, clamp it, and then you can still get home. Just be aware that when you are using the brakes, the vehicle is going to pull to the side of the brakes that are working. And Torben found that out on the way back. Kangaroo jumps out in front of him.
Oh.
Yeah. When you really hit the anchors, it really pulls you. He was aware of it.
Not Torb's day, was it?
No, it wasn't Torb's day, yeah. He's had a few of those days, yeah.
Yeah, that's by the looks of it. Well, DMO, hopefully that answers your question. Hopefully I'm saying that right. But that was pretty... I'd say that's pretty good.
So they're important factors, but if you stick to a 2-inch, you shouldn't need any of that except for maybe the UCAs, upper control arms.
Yep. Cool. What's this next one, Jaden? And we have some Defender chat.
Yeah, Ollie_R58 wants to know if we can have some Defender chat from you, Duggo.
Defend as in Land Rover Defender? Or are we talking...
I think it's a double play.
My day job.
A little bit of a play on words, I think.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Probably.
Probably some genuine... Just some
as
genuine...
a four-drive enthusiast talking about the Ranger, the Land Rover Defender.
Yeah, well, I've got nothing offer there.
It's just a double captain
but situation. I can talk about
he is the captain of the Ford podcast.
Yeah. There's a bit of a crossover to back chat, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ronnie can start interviewing me on how to spoil.
There you go.
Actually, any football background, Ronnie? Aussie rules footy?
Oh, just to kick around when it's grand final day, pretty much.
Sort of, yeah.
Just jump over your mates and have a bit of fun.
Yep.
Trying,
pretty much what I do.
Yeah, I can snap at a footy, but I
can't jump over.
trying to kick a straight ball is not really my forte.
Yeah, I'll bring a footy next time.
I'll give you tips, mate.
I'm happy to chat defenders if Ollie wants to hit me up with some detailed questions.
Yeah,
Land Rover or the back pocket style.
In regards to Land Rover defenders, bloody good flex, bloody good cars when they don't leak oil.
Can I also add on the defenders, sidetracked?
Yes.
The boys out of SA, the Barossa, their defender, the green one, that is an absolute beast.
It is a beast. And the colour they've made the beast.
That is cool. Yeah. That popped up yesterday on my YouTube scroll.
little Monday YouTube scroll.
I don't miss.
Yeah. It's funny. Well, Me, Nick and Mark didn't plan this release of the Bendleby Range on the same day.
Yeah, that's what popped up.
We didn't plan it. Yeah. We didn't even know. So he's popped up on mine. I was like, oh my God, no way.
That is
so funny. And I sent a text to Charlie, who's the owner of the property. And I said, well, your two favorite YouTube channels have just released on the same day.
Yeah. that is funny because that's what popped up. And then I had watched yours Sunday too. So that was my Sunday YouTube scroll. All right, we put together a podcast there.
No more questions.
Thank you. No, that was it today. But there's some decent.
Hang on, is there one? The one that we're missing?
I don't know. No. I was just.
Have you stitched yourself up again?
Me? Have I?
Ronnie.
Oh, me?
Oh, what's Ronnie done?
Well, I just know that he likes sending in questions from the four wheeling account.
Oh.
Oh, bloody Jono.
Oh, that Jono.
Has he sent one?
No.
No, good. Well, then we're
done.
He's
been on holidays.
No.
You're
lucky.
Is he back? Is Jono back?
Yeah, I just had a look.
Yeah, Jono's back. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Jono's back. He's, what's he working on right now? He's working on, so much has happened.
Yeah.
Oh, he's working on the thumbnail for the towing.
Ah, right. Yep.
Yeah.
He hasn't bought
concepts we're going for.
Hasn't bought the four-wheel drive high ace yet.
He has.
He bought one.
He has.
He bought one.
Yes. Imported.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about this next time.
Yeah, we are.
You got to get the cricket. Hey, let's wrap it up. I'm excited by that, though.
Yeah. Excited. It's cool.
Not by Jono being back, that Jono's bought a...
Hyace.
Yeah. No, I do like Jono, so that's good. Yeah. Back. But that is cool.
Do you reckon a Hyace is closer to a Land Cruiser than an FJ?
I'm probably getting further away, to be honest, but they do look cool. I've seen a couple floating around now, so I'm excited by that.
He reckons he's going to call it a troopy. Just to piss me off.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's wrap it up. Right. Thanks for your time, Ronnie. Thank you, Jaden.
Thank you, and thanks everyone who jumped over from the video to see the podcast. Yeah. Now you know the podcast is here.
Hopefully you enjoyed it. Four Drive Podcast, driven by Shelter, Southern Riverman. See us out. You know where to find us on our socials. All our episodes over on Backchat YouTube.
Yippee-ki-yo.
Thanks.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.